Yea, my people, and I say unto you this night, did not I tell my disciples when I was being taken away up into my home, that yea, I would come again just as they saw me go? Well, I say unto thee this night that I shall come again, and yea, I shall receive my bride unto myself. And yea, I say unto you this night that thou art my remnant bride. Thou art the one that I am coming for. And I say unto you that I am a great and a mighty God. Yea, I am great and mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. And I say unto you this night that if you will look unto the Lord thy God, anything that you ask of me, that I will do. Yea, I will go before thee, and I will fight, and I will war, and I will cause the enemy to be at bay. And I say unto you this night, yea, my people, access those things that I have provided for you. I have provided love, joy, peace. Yea, I have provided those things for you. Yea, I have provided the gifts of my spirit that you might do great and mighty things in my name and in my honor. And I say unto you, be not afraid to step forth. Be not afraid to step out into the things of the kingdom of the enemy. For yea, I shall go before you, and I shall tear down every stronghold that he has. Yea, I shall muzzle him, and I shall cause him to bow his knee unto me. So yea, my people, be encouraged this night, for I say to you, look unto the Lord thy God, for I am a living and a mighty God. Yea, you can find me just a prayer from thy mouth. Yea, you can find me if you reach unto me. For yea, I say unto you, all the things that the keys of the kingdom will unlock, I have given to you. Yea, receive those keys this night. Yea, be bold in thy spirit. Yea, be bold in the things of God. For yea, you do handle and control the kings of the kingdom through me, saith God.
The Gospel of John, as it reads, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, say all things, were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world knew, was made by him, and the world knew him not. What a scripture. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many, say as many, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That includes daughters as well. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God. As we ask and say the question, make the statement, to know him is to love him. To love him is to obey him. Look at your neighbor as his neighbor. To know him is to love him. To love him is to obey him. Tonight, I need to tell you that I know a man. I know a man whose name is Jesus. The great thing about the scripture that John writes is that he states in the beginning was the Word. And we read that the Word was with God, and it says the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But a question was asked, why was Jesus called the Word? And it took an 8-year-old girl to give the best answer I've ever heard. When the question was asked, why was Jesus called the Word? Her answer was, because Jesus is all God wanted to say to us. Jesus is all that God wanted to say to us. The Word, Christ. In Jesus is everything that God wanted to express to each one of us. Wow. Out of the mouths of babes comes the truth. That man Jesus, who was the Word, when we know of him, we know him as our bread. We know him as our living water. We know him as our shelter. We know him as our salvation. We know him as the wisdom of the world and the wisdom within the world, making senselessness out of the world. He is our knowledge. We know him as our knowledge. We know him as the good shepherd, the one shepherd who is our living Lord, not just a Lord in paper. He is a Lord within us. He is our almighty God. He's the one that delivered us from evil. He's the one that walks through us in the valley of the shadow of death. He's the one that helps us to not fear any evil. Why? Because he's the way, the truth, and life itself. You need a bridge over troubled waters, he is that bridge. You need a role model, he is your role model. You need light in the midst of darkness, he'll light up every dark corner of your life. But you got to know him. To know him is to love him. And in knowing him, you know him first as your friend, but he wants to become your husband. You know him as that wonderful way maker, but he wants to be your daily lover. You know him with bringing and helping you through bad times, but he wants to be the good news in your life. When you want to talk about the gospel, the good news of the gospel is Jesus. Because he makes up the good news. He makes up the Redeemer. He makes up the one who sacrificed for us. It is his blood and his blood alone that washes away your sins. To know him is to love him. Why? A lover sees you as you are and accepts you as you are. But you know they're going to try to change you to be who they want you to be. Jesus is the same way. He'll accept you as you are, but I guarantee you, he won't let you stay the way you are. His love for you is so great that he's got to mold you into his own image. He's got to bring you into the divine design so that when you're in heaven, you can enjoy heaven. You can't enjoy heaven like a sinner can. A sinner can't enjoy being up there with all the saints. No. Heaven would be hell to them. And hell would be hell to us. So therefore, we've got to be at the right place because we were meant for a right position. And that position is heaven, to be with Jesus. Because we love him, because we know him, and he sees us for who we are, we can relax around him. When you find that good woman, guys, after you've impressed her and after you have gotten her, then you can relax with her. Right. Too many of us relax too soon.
But when you relax around her, it's because you are comfortable with letting yourself be who you are in front of her. Because you love her. Because you know her. To know him is to love him. In he knows my thoughts and my intents. I got to turn away from my wife because she's probably thinking right now what I'm thinking. The longer you stay married, the closer you're coming together as one. God meant it to be that two would become one. And if he can do that with you and you and you and you, you can become one with him. There's no one greater than to become one with him. To know him is to love him. And when you love him, he knows your intents. He knows your motives. So you don't have to put up any fronts. Just focus on being the person that is pleasing in his sight. I can cry if I need to cry in front of Sister Deeds. You can cry if you need to cry in front of Christ. If you want to laugh, laugh. If you want to be at peace, be at peace. Tell a joke, tell a joke. It's Jesus. To know him is to love him. And as you know him, you will get to the point of really enjoying the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Because to know him is to love him and to joy in him. Because he enjoys you being in his presence. And he'll make situations in your life so conducive that you want to stay with him even more and more and more. I'd love to stay in the atmosphere we had here created this evening. Over and over and over again where we can feel his presence. Where he can speak to us and talk to us. And we can talk back to him. And we can be set on fire here to get ready to go out here and tell a dying world. Jesus lives because he lives in us. To know him is to love him. Now comes the hard part. You say you know him. Then you're supposed to obey him. Let's go back to knowing him. Because before you jump to trying to obey him, look back and see how many know him now and don't obey him. How many say they love him now and don't obey him? It's because they really don't know who Jesus is. For if they realize that I know a man named Jesus who will always be there for God's children, even when they're grown. You know, you can't outgrow God. No matter how old you are, saints, you are not too old to keep doing work for the Lord. No matter how senior you are in your church, don't you dare get a pew and start to rot in it. God didn't make any grandchildren. He made children. And if you're still a child, that means God's got work for you. If you're still breathing, God's got work for you. If you're still able to talk, walk, have your being, God's got work for you to do. There's somebody out there that still needs to hear the word, Jesus lives. Too many people want to retire here in a pew and act as if they've been in church long enough. Now, I've done all my work here, and let me let somebody else do it. Who told you to let somebody else? You didn't let someone start in the first place. What gave you the right to give someone else the authority to take over your position? Jesus, you got to know who you're talking to and I'm talking about. He will always be there for God's children, even when you're grown. All you got to do is say, Lord, I know I've been on idle for a couple of months or years. Lord, use me now until you use me up. And immediately you're right back into the flow. You're right back into the flow. He won't forget you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Secondly, you got to know that Jesus thinks about God's children long after they have flown the nest. He will run after you if you're the only saint left in the world that's trying to just run away from God. He'll still chase after you, coming after you to bring you back so that you can then one day enjoy the benefits of his glory.
of his blessings and of his kingdom. Then you know that Jesus, if you know a man named Jesus, you know he inspires and supports the children of God. He supports their dreams. And when they seem impossible, Jesus says, there's nothing impossible for those who will trust me. You've got to get to the point where you know a man named Jesus who can make anything possible. When he means what he says, when he says all things are possible through him who loves Christ. All things can be done through Christ Jesus. You've got to understand and know that Jesus is a man that loves God's children in a way that they will never understand until they find and accept Christ on their own. How can you know Jesus until you accept Jesus into your heart for yourself? My message to you about me knowing a man named Jesus still can't help you know the man Jesus, except let you know I'm already knowing the man. I know the man. And here's what the man has done for me. What will you let him do for you? Third, fourthly, you got to know that Jesus is a man that will defend the children against Satan, sin, and the world. Tell me somebody else who'll defend you against Satan. Tell me somebody else who's going to come against you and for you when you've sinned like you've sinned. Who's going to stand and say, I still want him. I still want her. Who's going to say, yet, though they fallen, yet will I lift them up. Your dirty, damaged image, according to the devil. Your no good material, according to the world. And once the world dumps on you, once the world steps on you, then they want to kick you to the curb. But I know a man named Jesus who will go to every curb, who will go to every gutter, who will go and look underneath the rock, pick you up, turn you around, clean you up, set you on a rock called Jesus. No matter how dirty you get by the world, your value is still valuable in the eyes of the Lord. He created you and he knows your value. I know a man named Jesus who took two nails in his hands, a nail in his feet, and death on a cross for us so that we could be with God and not go to hell. I know a man. I know a man named Jesus. And I know of no one else who died for me. I know of no one else who would even think about sacrificing for me. But not only sacrificing for me, clean me up and then prepare me for a place that I couldn't handle until I was clean. It's like finding a $5 bill that's been dirted and soiled, stepped on, watered and wet, but you look across and, you see the image of the $5 bill shining forth. But it's a dirty dollar bill. I'll just step over because it's dirty. Now you're looking to see if anybody else is going to pick it up. Because you know you want to go back there, pick that $5 bill up. And even if you have to pick it up by the skinniest of thin, you're going to shake it. You're going to wipe it off. But you look at that dollar bill, you see no matter how dirty it is, it's still $5. To know Jesus is to love him because he loves you for who you are and who he made you to be. And don't let the world tell you anything different. But no one else will tell you that except Jesus. Who puts you and makes you valuable? Jesus does. Who tries to destroy your value? Satan does. Who lets him? We do. But we don't have to, because I know a man named Jesus. And because I know a man named Jesus, this man always goes the extra mile when it comes to God's children. Grace, mercy, favor, and anointing for all who lovingly ask for it. Did you hear that? Grace, mercy, and an anointing for all who ask, no matter how dirty you once were. I know a man named Jesus who will fix scraped knees,
who will kiss away tears, who will mend broken hearts. And even when death knocks on your door, he'll answer the door for you and say, this is my child. I'm not ready for him to come up there yet. Step back behind me, death. You have no right. I've already died for him. You can't claim him yet. I know a man named Jesus who has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he's done it for us. I know a man named Jesus who will love God's children even when they hurt and neglect him. And don't we neglect him so often? And we do it right in church. For instead of coming to church to worship him, we come to gossip. We come to play pity pat with other people. We come to see who's in church this Sunday. We come to communicate and gossip and talk about what's going on for next week. But we don't come for the right reason, to come and get in his presence, to come and allow him to love with us and we love him, to come and leave out of this place different than we came in. You got to get to the point where you know him and you love him and you act like you love him. Act like he's a lover that you love so often before in the past. Act like you treat that he can be treated like a lover that you love him. Lastly, I know a man named Jesus who will love God's children to the moon and back. And more. Jesus loves with an unconditional love, just as God does. Jesus may not approve of what the children do or who they see, but his love is constant. When you know this man called Jesus, then you begin to love him. And because you know him and love him, now it's easier to obey him. Because look what he will do for you. But to obey him, you have to listen to his commission. And his commission is found in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, when he says, go ye therefore to the world and preach the gospel, but then baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And lo, yes, I will be with you. Yes, even until the end of the age. But to go, you got to love. To love, you must obey. To obey, you got to be willing to teach. And to teach, you got to be willing to read and spend time with the Holy Spirit. To know, to love, to obey. To obey the call to go, there's got to be love in your heart. Like the love Jesus has for you, you've got to love others. And then you will go next door to your neighbors. You will go across the street to your neighbors. You will go around the corner to find out if your neighborhood is saved or if they're full of Satanists. You ought to know these things. You shouldn't just know your front porch or your back porch. You ought to know who's to your right. Who's to your left? Because one day when it's time to get out of this world, you don't want to be having the next door neighbor get ready to drive your car, because you're going to be gone and they're going to be left behind and your car is going to be damaged, but you don't care then. But the bottom line, you need to know who's next door, who lives across the street, who's your friend. Who's one that you can go and have a prayer with? What's your neighborhood like? God hadn't sent you out to your own neighborhood. Why should he send you around the world when you won't even go out your front door? To know God is to love God, but to love God is to obey God. And to obey God, it means to go. To go. To teach. What are we doing, church? We just saying we know him. We're just saying we love him. But we're staying within these four walls.
That's why I was glad we came down here. We got outside of our four walls to fellowship with fellow Christians who worship different than we do. But the Holy Spirit's the same Spirit. And we should become used to fellowshipping with other and with like believers so that we can all usher in the same Spirit and talk to Him. Jesus. Jesus. I know a man named Jesus. Do you know him?